Amen. And I'm glad I don't want a sexual change. Who in the world would want to buy cosmetics and pantyhose? I surely don't. Amen. So I'm satisfied like I am. Amen. Our country is in bad shape. We certainly need something from God. We need the Lord to breathe on our churches and do something for us that'll make us different. If you take your Bibles tonight and turn to Acts chapter 12, I'm aware of the time, and you won't have to worry about it, because I'm not. I do want to read a funny that I got off of the back of a bulletin. The scripture's still on there, but when Grandma goes to court, some of you may have heard it, said in a trial, a southern small town prosecuting attorney called his first witness, a grandmother. She took the stand and he approached her and asked, "Ms. Jones, do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a boy. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, cheat on your wife, manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a big shot when you haven't the brains to realize you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room and asked, "Ms. Jones, do you know the defense attorney?" She again replied, "Why, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster, too. He's lazy, bigoted, has a drinking problem, can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the worst in the entire state. Not to mention, he cheated on his wife with three different women. One of them was your wife." "Yes, I know him." The defense attorney nearly died. The judge asked both counselors to approach the bench. In a very quiet voice said, "If either of you idiots ask her if she knows me, I'll send both of you to the lecture chair." A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Acts chapter 12, if you'd stand with me, please, in reverence to the reading of the King James Bible. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 12. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quarturions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he had saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, I thought about that. Where was Peter at? And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. We had considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door, the gate a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Our Father, we bow to you tonight to thank you for what we've already heard today, the good preaching this afternoon, and then, Lord, tonight, Brother O preached tonight. Thank you for that great message. And now, Lord, we come to thank you for the good singing we've heard. Lord, I pray tonight, I pray a special prayer tonight, God, that you take Brother Foote and remove that prostate cancer from him. Heal him, oh God. I pray, God, tonight you'd raise him up. Let him preach the word of God with power and unction. Lord, I pray tonight, now as I stand here behind the sacred desk for the power of God. Lord, you know I need thee, because without you I can do nothing. Lord, I pray you speak to every heart. Thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on some things at the door of the church. If you'll notice, there's five pictures of the church here in this scripture by way of introduction. I'll get as far as I can, amen? But there's five pictures of the church here in this scripture. We see, first of all, the church in persecution. If you'll notice in verse 1, the church is the target of the devil. The main emphasis of the devil is to destroy the local church of God. The main target of the devil is the church. He doesn't bother every church, because the Bible said here, vex certain of the church. I believe he's after the old-fashioned, dyed-in-the-wool, fundamental, Bible-thumping, Bible-believing churches. Stand hard on the core of the Word of God. Can I say something to you real strong tonight? There's nothing better in all the planet Earth than a good old-fashioned, fundamental, blood-washed, dyed-in-the-wool, white-spitting Baptist preacher. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? He is the number one enemy against God. The devil is. The preacher that stands for God, the devil is trying to destroy that testimony, tear them down, and get to the church and rip it apart. Certain of the church, what churches? Those that are fruitful. Those that are loving. Those that are caring. Those without compromise, who will stand on the blood of the Lamb of God without any reservation and hesitation. Those who will wave that old-fashioned banner of fundamentalism. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't like us. Did you know something tonight? If God had given the devil power to kill, he'd kill every old-fashioned Baptist preacher and old-fashioned Baptist person in this building tonight. But Brother Seth, you've been mighty quiet tonight. But Brother Seth, he doesn't have that power. God has not let him have the power to kill. He only has power sometimes to destroy our testimony. Y'all listening to me tonight? I like it, don't you, that I'm a target of the devil. I have a lot of friends, a lot of preacher friends, several preacher friends who have been the target of the devil and have fallen. I've seen the hand of the devil against God's anointed. I know some men who stood at one time with the power of Almighty God. I'm thinking about an evangelist now that has more young preachers on the field preaching than anybody I know. And yet he was a target of the devil and he failed. I'm telling you, the devil is an enemy to us. He's not our friend. Sometimes you and I dilly-dally around with him. Sometimes you and I flirt with him when we ought to run. The target of the devil is the church. I said, number one, verse one, he said, vex certain of the church. If Herod did that, and Herod's the type of the devil here, and the church is you and me. And you and I better perk up and pay attention that we do have an opponent that doesn't love us. If he does anything for us that looks good, the ultimate goal is to destroy us with that which looks good. So be careful. Notice in verse 5, we see another picture of the church. We see a church in prayer. Notice what it says. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, tonight you can get churches together for chicken suppers. You can get churches together for fish fries. You can get churches together for pizza housing, eating, you know, groups of preachers and all that. But I'm telling you what the hardest thing to do is get a group of preachers and people together to pray. We can do everything else. But wait a minute. Here at this church, here they were praying for Peter unto God to get Peter out of jail. Now, God heard their prayer. Don't you think God would listen to us? How many believe God would listen to us? Brother Foote, I want you to come up here if you would. I want you to kneel down on your knees if you can. I want every preacher of God's gospel to get up. I want you to come around here and let's just touch Brother Foote. What does the Bible say? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I'm telling you, don't make fun. God has laid this on my heart. And I want us to lay our hands on this man of God and I want us to pray and seek his face and ask God to touch Brother Foote. Brother O, would you lead us in prayer tonight over Brother Foote?
Father, thank you.
Oh, God. I pray you'll touch him.
He has an enemy in
the church. Oh, God.
And Father,
would you lift him up, Lord? God, touch my brother.
You're the one that has it all in control, Lord.
Lord, have your way.
Our dear brother, and I pray, God, that you would heal him, rise him up.
Oh, God.
Place your power upon him. Send him down the road preaching again, Lord.
Lord, God, grant it, I pray.
Continue to serve you. Thank you for his
oh, Lord.
Thank you for what he means to so many men of God, just to see him going from place to place and preaching, Lord. I pray that you take care of the cancer, take it out of him, Lord. As the fear will, we pray for our
oh, God. Heal him, I pray, Lord. Raise him up, oh, God. We'll certainly thank you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, now, you know what happened when the church of God was praying for Simon Peter? You know what happened? He got released from the prison. I expect tonight God to do something, don't you? When Simon Peter was locked up in that jail, released the four quarterions of soldiers and two prisoners keepers guarding him and two chains on him, the angel of the Lord opened the gates for him to get out. I like it, don't you? Look down in verse 12, we see another picture. We see the church in unity. The Bible said many were gathered together. That preacher back here has got a church named Harmony. Here the church was in unity. Many were gathered together praying. Notice something else in verse 15. We see a picture of the church in argument. Notice what he says here. Notice. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Isn't that amazing? They said, that's not Simon Peter. She said, it is. And they said, something's wrong with you. Your bread hadn't been in the oven. Amen. They said, thou art mad. But notice something. But she constantly affirmed that he was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. It's a spirit. It's a ghost. But I'm telling you something tonight. God had let him out of prison. He was standing there at the door, and they were arguing about it. Notice down here in verse 16, we see the church in astonishment. But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Have you ever asked God to do something that he done that just astonished you when he done it? I have. I prayed and prayed and then wondered, and God then done it, and I was astonished at what he done. Because he just doesn't necessarily always do just that. He has bread enough to spare along with us, you know. And I'm thinking, praise God, isn't it wonderful that when the Lord asks us prayer sometime, it just amazes us. It just astonishes us. But what did he say in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Write this statement down. The church has always been granted the privilege to have everything that is in God's will. Do you know something tonight? Everything in the will of God for the church, we've been granted to have that. Isn't it good to know tonight? Thank God that God loved the church. And I'm not talking about the building, the walls, the seats, the chairs. I'm talking about a band of born-again baptized believers seeking to carry out the great commission of the Lord. That's the definition of the church. And I'm glad tonight, thank God, that the church has been granted the privilege that everything that God has in his will is for the church. No, you know why we don't have everything that God has for us in his will? We will not open the door. When Rhoda heard Simon Peter knocking and heard his voice, she knew it was Peter, but she wouldn't open the door for gladness and ran in and told others. I'm telling you, you get saved and God does something astronomical around you and you go tell others in the church, and some of them will say to you, you're crazy. Something's gone wrong with you, buddy. Your screws are loose. Yeah, they'll tell you everything. They've been in it so long, they're so backslid and so cold and so indifferent about everything, God hadn't blessed them in so long. Hey, they think that God doesn't bless anybody anymore. And when God does something for you and you brag about it in front of them, they get all upset. They think you're crazy. When I got saved, my brother thought I'd gone crazy. My blood brother thought I was gone off on the deep end. He told my dad one day, he said, all he wants to do is read the Bible and talk about the Lord. And my dad said to my brother, well, you know, Jack, if God ever done anything for you like that, you might talk do the same thing he's doing. My dad was a deacon at West Macon Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. And he told me, my dad told me, he said, now lighten up on your brother. He thinks you've gone crazy. I said, I have. Amen. Why? God had done something astronomical in my life. He brought me from death unto life. He took me out of the horrible pit, the muck, and the mire. Washed me with the blood of the Lamb of God. And robed me in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have every right to be crazy, amen? But I tell you why we don't have anything. We're not willing to open the door. Look in verse 14, if you would, this chapter. And when she knew Peter's voice, she now opened not the gate for gladness. I'll tell you, the reason we don't have everything that God has for us, we simply won't let him in. What does Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 say? To whom is it written? Written to the church. Now, thank God we can use that as a soul-winning verse. Nothing wrong with making an application to a lost sinner. That God is knocking at their heart's door, and if they'll open that door and receive him, he'll save them. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you know the true meaning of Revelation 3:20. The real true meaning is written to the church. To you and me who are saved by the grace of God, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Isn't that a place? Isn't that an awful place for the Lord to be to the Christian? Standing at the heart's door knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, that tells me tonight, nobody has a monopoly on God. You can't control the amount of God that somebody else has. Because they may be opening the door more than you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door and come into me, I will sup with him and he with me. Hey, I'm saying tonight the reason you and I do not have all that God wants us to have, we won't open the door. What James 4:8 said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. The reason we're not any closer to God is because we won't do any drawing to him. The reason you and I are not closer to God than we are tonight is simply for the fact when he knocks on our door, we won't let him in. But God said, if you open the door, I will come into you. Amen. Well, look at some things with me tonight. Talk about some things at the door of the church. Look in verse 16. We see, first of all, answered prayers are at the door of the church. Notice the two little words, saw him. Now, Peter was the only one they'd been praying for. They had gathered together. Many were gathered together. Praying for Simon Peter, and Peter was the only one they saw. He was the answered prayer. I like it, don't you? What did the Lord say in Jeremiah 33:3? Call upon me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Have you ever considered getting down before God? Because he said, call upon me and I will answer thee. Have you ever considered getting down before God and saying to the Lord, you have promised me that if I'd call on you and ask you to show me some of them great and mighty things that I don't know, You'll show them to me. Lord, I'm asking for some great and mighty things to be revealed. I'm tired of self-complacency. I'm tired of the ho-humness. I'm tired of the routineness. I want something great that I don't know anything about. I want the unusualness of God. Now, I'm not talking about going crazy. But it wouldn't hurt to be like Rhoda sometime. Amen? You know what prayer does? Answer prayer does? It stops the desire of the wicked. Look back in chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, then with the unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quarturions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to people. Notice, hey, you know what happened? Prayer stopped that desire. When they were praying, God done something. Then notice something else in verse 7. Prayer unlocks the saint and loosed the saint from circumstances. You know what happened? You know what the circumstances was? Them chains around his arms. The Bible said the chains fell from off his hands. I still believe God can do that. I still believe God can take cigarettes away from Christians. Even a pinch between the cheek and the gum. I believe God can still take drink, alcohol from a saint's mouth. Amen, if you can call him a saint. I still believe God can let chains fall off of our hands. You and I, several of us, may have some things and habits that's keeping us bound up, not being efficient and powerful for God Almighty like we ought to be. We ought to get before God. Then the third thing about this prayer, third thing on the point number one, don't get ahead of me, verse 11. Prayer delivers from those things that are going to happen. Look in verse 11, notice what he says. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel. You reckon Peter was in a trance? You reckon Peter was off somewhere in the Lord? Huh? I had a preacher friend to tell me one day, after he'd been praying for about 3 hours, he said, when I came to myself. I was a young Christian then, and I kind of laughed to myself. But then I read about this account. I said, Lord, well, Brother John came to himself like Simon Peter did. I wondered if he'd been off where John was at. And John had been off where Peter was at. Amen? I'm just saying, hey, it delivered. Notice what he said in verse 11. He delivered me out of the hand of Herod and all the expectation of the Jews. I'm glad God's a deliverer, aren't you? You remember Hezekiah? Now, I don't know what was wrong with Hezekiah, but the Bible said his house was out of order. Didn't say he had great sins in his life, just his house was out of order. And he sent a man of God and said, go tell Hezekiah, then I'm going to kill him. He's going to die. And he delivered the message. And Hezekiah flipped to the wall and began to pray. God stopped that servant and said, go back and tell him that I heard him and I've added 15 years to his life. The circumstance was house out of order. How's your house tonight? Brother O talked about the book, talking about our library. Hey, how's your house tonight? Is it in order or out of order? Hezekiah was pronounced to die because his house was out of order. You think God didn't love Hezekiah? You think he loves us more than him? No. And if our house is out of order, he may pronounce the same thing on us. And the only thing that'll stop that judgment is a confession before God, praying and seeking God's face, getting the library cleaned out, getting our house in order, and let God do something for us. God added 15 more years to Hezekiah. I said number four, prayer opens the heavens and sends help. Isaiah 64 once said, oh, that thou would rend the heaven, thou wouldst come down. Isn't that important tonight? You know what we do many times? We argue, we discuss, we weigh out the situation. We try to calculate and figure out everything when all we need to do is just open the door. I'm telling you, you look at these people. They were discussing their disagreements all the while. The blessing was still standing there knocking at the door. Now, they disputed her testimony. When Rhoda said, Peter's at the gate, they said she was crazy. They disputed her testimony. But I don't see any of them getting up a petition to get Simon Peter out of jail. I don't see any of them having a right to get Simon Peter out of jail. I don't see where they went on a strike to get Simon Peter out of jail. I don't see where they had fights to get Simon Peter out of jail. I don't even see where they formed the committee to get Simon Peter out of jail. I don't see where they got a board together. When I pastored, I got some board with boards. Hey, man, I quit having boards. But they didn't do any of those things. And by the way, we don't need a committee or a board to pray. Because that's something everybody can do. You know something tonight? The government can't stop us from praying. Obama, the community organizer, may say, we're not a Christian nation. I disagree with him. We were formed on a Christian principle. Of course, who would expect a Muslim to say that? Anything but that. Y'all listen to me tonight? Bulletin. Food for thought. John Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock made in Japan for 6 a.m. While his coffee pot made in China was perking, he shaved with his electric razor made in Hong Kong. He put on a dress shirt made in Sri Lanka, design jeans made in Singapore, tennis shoes made in Korea after cooking his bread with his new electric skillet made in India. He sat down with his calculator made in Mexico to see how much he could spend a day. After setting his watch made in Taiwan to the radio made in India, he goes in his car made in Germany, filled it with gas from Saudi Arabia, and continued his search for a good American job. At the end of yet another discouraging, fruitless day, checking his computer made in Malaysia, John decided to relax for a while. He put on his sandals made in Brazil, poured himself a coffee made in Brazil, turned on his TV made in Indonesia, and then wondered why he could not find a good paying American job. Now he is hoping that he can get help from a president made in Kenya. I say we've come a long way, don't you? What I'm trying to say to you tonight, answer prayers are at the door of the church in this high time. You and I really come on our knees about our country in which we live. Number two, the message of deliverance is at the door in verse 17. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. The first place Simon Peter, when he got out of jail, to go was to church. You know, that ought to be the first thing we do at the first part of the week. Amen. You see, the church needs the message of deliverance. If the church has the message of deliverance shown to them, then they can take it and show the whole world what God does. I like it, don't you? It's a sure deliverance in verse 11. It's a satisfying deliverance. When you're in the clutches of Satan, deliverance comes as most satisfying. Have you ever been beaten down by the devil? And the Lord gave you deliverance. Wasn't it satisfying that you didn't give in? That you didn't compromise? That you didn't run off? Amen. There's not a pastor in this building that's pastored any length of time that has not had major battles sometime or another. And if you hadn't, hang around. Because the Bible already prophesied and told us that he's going to vex certain of the church. Now, if it's been a long, 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 or if you've never been tested, you might not be in that certain part of the church. Give you something to think about. It was a successful deliverance. Do you know why it was successful? Heaven was in charge. We've had, in our military, we've had covert operations. We've had Navy SEALs to go and try to deliver some people that was captured in foreign countries, and the operation would fail. You know why? The White House was in charge. But this was successful. A one man in prison, guarded very heavily. Nobody could get him out except the Lord. And the Lord done it. Man, what a deliverance. You know something, one night, sitting in the house of God, as good as anybody in that building. Went in. About halfway through that sermon, I should have been put in hell. I was so ungodly and undone. And for 3 long months, I was incarcerated under that heavy conviction. 3 long months. God let me stew in my conviction about being lost for 3 long months. And one Wednesday night, I went to church. Should have been put in hell a long time ago. If I told you my life, you wouldn't even stay here and listen to me preach. If you told me yours, I probably wouldn't stay and preach to you. I was so wicked. Talk about a sure deliverance, satisfying deliverance, and a speedy deliverance. Sitting in that pew, in the worst condition that I'd ever been in, I've been in some bad situations. I've been shot at going over the Berlin Wall by the Russian soldiers. I've been in some bad situations. But that night at Grace Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia, 1010 Newberg Avenue, I was in the worst condition I'd ever been in my life. And wasn't anybody around me but Christians. And my wife, and my stepmother, and Wayne and Sue Young, my next door neighbors, who taught me into going to church that night. The night I got convicted, they taught me into it. And that Wednesday night in church, they taught me into it. When that preacher in the invitation. 220-pound man, 6'4". I didn't know he was an ex-paratrooper like me. I was an ex-paratrooper. Brand new church building. Stood up in his shoes in the brand new pews. And began to weep for sinners to come to God. I was in bad shape. Terrible shape. He was in my house the night before. And he said, there's at least one here tonight that's lost. I hit my wife. I said, he's telling everybody. Well, I told him the night before I wasn't saved. I wasn't a Christian. Couldn't be saved. And then he's telling everybody, there's at least one here lost. And the Holy Ghost said, now, never. You got to remember, I've been fighting it 3 long months. Why? A preacher bowed down at my door and said, Lord, would you save Mr. Pollard? Would you make his bed so bumpy that he can't sleep till he gets saved? And his food so salty that he can't eat till he gets saved? And my bed had been bumpy. And my food was salty. But that night, I stepped out. Y'all listening? I stepped out. I didn't even know John 3:16. In fact, I didn't even know there was a John in the Bible. Stepped out and a man met me at the altar. His name's Andy Asbell. I didn't know him then. So Andy said, what'd you come forward for? I said, to get saved. He said, get down. I fell down. And I got down on my knees and he said, ask the Lord to save me. I said, I don't know how. I'm 33 years of age. He said, ask the Lord to save you in your own words. I said, I don't know how. He opened that Bible. Now, don't get upset with me. The Ethiopian eunuch had a heifer. And he said, you believe this, Romans 10:13? I said, I sure do. He said, all right, you confess your sin and ask Christ to come into your heart. I started, I don't know what all I said, but I know one thing. I've done business with him. Amen. I asked him to forgive me of all my sin. You know what happened? He did. And right that moment, things begin to change. All of a sudden, God gave me some knowledge of things. Y'all listening to me? I had that deliverance by the grace of Almighty God. I'm glad it's a satisfying deliverance. Oh, when I got saved, they said it wouldn't last long. Just been preaching 41 years now. Said it wouldn't last long. It hadn't been long. Seemed like yesterday when I walked down that aisle. Seemed like the day after that when he said to me, I want you to preach. I said, who, me? I'm still saying, who, me? But I'm just saying to you, it was a successful deliverance. Verse 7, I said it was a speedy deliverance. Notice something else that's a separating deliverance. Again, verse 7 said them chains fell off. And then the last thing I want you to notice tonight, there's a service to perform at the door. In verse 17, underline these words. Go show these things unto James and the brethren. Along with blessings come responsibilities. Everything God does comes with a responsibility to Him. Amen. We won't open the door, and we don't receive it. Oh, we want good services, don't we? We want good spiritual services, but I've already seen the evidence. We don't want to testify and shout. I've already heard tonight who's got a testimony. It's like in a barbershop. Next. On a dentist office. Got to pull it out of you. Why? You know what you ought to do? If we want good spiritual service, when Brother Foot says, who's got a testimony? Me? I knew I was preaching. I was going to testify while I was up here. Y'all listening to me? We want good singing, but we won't stay in practice with others. We want good attendance, but we won't invite people to come. We want large love offerings, but we won't give. We want good fellowship, but we won't stay and talk with people. We'd rather leave and talk about them. In one of my churches, I had a family that sat on the second row. Mom, dad, two children. They came in anywhere 10 to 15 minutes after the service started. You've heard me tell this. They left 5 to 10 minutes before it was over. Well, I preached something one time that got them upset. I don't know why. And they told somebody, we're not coming back there. That church is unfriendly. Well, the couple they told me. And the next time they came to church, I stopped the singing. And I had this side to stand and come and shake their hand. Then I had this side to stand, shake their hand. And that made them mad. You can't please somebody all the time, you know. So I finally got to see them at home. And I was told how badly I embarrassed them. And they said, we're not coming back. I said, you're absolutely not coming back. No. I said, let me tell y'all something. You embarrassed me like I've never been embarrassed before. And Bobby, the dad, looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, don't you know we got a friendly church? And when you go out in this world and tell everybody how unfriendly we are, that embarrassed me to no end. I said, I was as embarrassed, if not more embarrassed than you were. Everybody showing they loved you and shook hands with you. I don't know why they didn't come back. We have, first of all, a service of encouragement. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily. I like what some preacher already said, you can. Then we have a service of enlightenment to preach the word. Did you notice something? It was the whole church that preached Simon Peter out of prison. And all that God has, all the blessing, is for the whole church. If we'll open the door, let's stand, please, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. How many tonight would be honest with me and say, Brother Pollard, I'm saved, but spiritually I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord, and I wish you'd pray for me. Would you be honest and slip up that hand? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put them down. You who are here tonight, God has spoken to your heart. You know good and well that you need some help from the Lord, especially you who lifted your hand. Would you slip on out and come on and pray? Would you come on? I'm asking all of you who raised your hand, would you come on? Will you come on? If you know good and well, you're not where you ought to be spiritually for the Lord. God's spoken to your heart tonight. God's done something for you tonight. Would you slip out and come? All the blessings of God are at the door of the church. Would you mind him tonight? If you're not satisfied where you're standing tonight with the Lord, spiritually, would you step out and come? Would you mind him tonight? If you don't have the power of God like you ought to have, if you don't have the blessings of God like you ought to have, if you don't have that unction with God like you ought to have, would you slip out and come? You've got a hunger in your heart. If you're craving for the power, the blessings of God, would you step out? If you want that unusualness of God, would you come tonight? Right, just come on. You say it's late. It may be later than you think. Mind God tonight. Let the whole world pass by. Just mind God tonight. It really doesn't matter who won Auburn or Oregon. Hey, it matters about our life with God Almighty. Just mind it.